Writing the Kima and the Tira today. I don't know if he'll explain the Kima and the Tira. I assume he will. What? I know what it is. I know the translation. I don't know if he'll explain it or I can explain it. That was my title. Nakima means doing something about it, which means a guy didn't lend you something. The next day you don't lend him something. Natira means you do lend him, but you bear a grudge. The Rashi's case is you say to him, I'm not like you. Whether that's necessary or not, maybe he'll discuss, maybe not, but it's not halachas later. In Hilchos Nakima Natira, Chavetz Chaim has all arikas on it in the Hagdama to Shmiras Halachas. Gemara, thank you very much. The Gemara Yuma says that any Talmud Chacham that doesn't take revenge and bear grudges like a snake is not a Talmud Chacham. Gemara, how can a Talmud Chacham do it? The Torah says it's prohibited. That's written by money. Meaning, according to the way Parshat Pshat in Rashi, in the Gemara, is that the Issur of Nakima Natira is to take revenge or bear a grudge about a monetary thing that happened to you. Somebody refused to give you something, or maybe even hurt you monetarily, and you can't collect it for whatever reason. That's when there's an Issur. But if somebody hurt somebody bodily or emotionally or something like that, then there is no, that's what it sounds like. The Gemara, it's a big machlokes mishraim, I don't know what he'll say, but I'll let him talk for himself. The Gemara's mashma, there's no Isser Nakima Natira. The Tanya, Ezi Nakima Vezi Natira, Nakima Amalei Hashmeini Magocho, let me your sickle, Amalei Lav, no, Lamach Amalei, who, he says, Hashmeini Kadumach, lend me your hammer, Amalei Eini Masuchu, Kadarachlei Shaltoni, I will not lend it to you like you didn't lend me, Zui Nakima, that is considered revenge. Ezi Natira, what is considered bearing a grudge, Amalei Hashmeini Kadumach, Amalei Lav, and he said, no, I will not lend you my hammer, Amalei Lamach, Amalei Hashmeini Chalukha, let me your shirt, Amalei Heilach, here it is, Eini Kamaitch, I'm not like you, Shlei Shatani, that you didn't lend me, Zui to give Natira. Shadavir Shamar Beliboy, what is Natira? It keeps it in his heart. Beloy Yisicha Meita, and he's not Messiah Das from it, meaning he doesn't let it get away from him. He bears the grudge, he still holds it. Vitzarit, thank the Gemara, Vitzarit, the Gufalai, and if somebody bothers your goof, there's no Isser Nakima Natira. But Tanya, we learned that in a loving vein among them, those who get embarrassed and don't respond, they listen to their embarrassment, for lack of a better word. I'm sure he has a different word. And they don't respond. They do mitzvahs with love of Hashem, and they don't get angry about Yisurim. They accept it from happily that the Rabbi Islam is treating them that way. Like the sun comes out in its strength. There's a Ridvam of a Basra, I believe, that says, why are they compared to the sun? Because the sun heard when the moon told it that it's not royal, it's not Mishneh, meaning the moon, quote-unquote, insulted it by saying, we can't be together, and the sun kept quiet. So Mela, anybody that learns how to keep quiet, as they state in Ridva, is Ka'ayvav Kishay Sashemesh Vigvarasai, like the sun, meaning he keeps quiet like the sun kept quiet, and benefited that it ended up being the stronger one. So the Gemara La'ayvam the Nakat Le'Belibe, he doesn't say anything, but he can keep it in his heart. That's the Gemara's answer. So Tzara de Gufa, you're allowed to bear the grudge, as long as you don't act on it, you don't say, not like you, and you don't say, I'm not doing it. That's, again, we're not finished the Gemara yet. Frek the Gemara of Amarava, Kamavra, Midaisa, Mavir, Lakop, Shav. Aye, the Gemara says that if you want to have Hashem forgive you, you should forgive others. Don't bear grudges, just let everything slide off of you. So the Gemara, the Mephayas, that's only if he asks you mechila. If not, you can allow him to bear a grudge. Mashma maskonas ha-gemara. And the maskonas ha-gemara is mashma, right? In Tema, the teretz kama huba mamma duksiv nishagam la-maskona. If you learn that the first teretz, the gemara never changed his mind. The pedavish of a mamman, also lintra davar klaubali, but by a thing of money, you're not even allowed to bear the grudge in your heart. Of the tzare de gufa, mucho lintra bilibai. And if somebody comes to punish the other guy for insulting you, you can keep quiet. You can't do anything, but you can bear the grudge in your heart, and you're not supposed to stop anybody else who wants to stand up for you. Vaisu, if the guy asked you for mechila, yimcho. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah paskens. There are many Rishayim that paskin this way. They paskin that if somebody insults you, the tzara de gufa, embarrasses you, you're allowed to bear a grudge. Leisitar does not say you can't bear a grudge on that circumstance. Leisitar, again, I'm not passing a law, I'm pointing out these sheets in the Rishayim. Chabad Chaim has a whole arichas on this in the Hakdama to Mishmei Shalash. But these are the sheets of many Rishayim. That the halacha of Leisikim and Leisitar has two facets. If a guy hurts you monetarily, refuses to do you a favor monetarily, if he hurts you, you're allowed to collect the bezin. But if he refuses to do a favor, or he does a kind of monetary thing you can't collect, you're supposed to let it slide off you. No grudge, no bearing a grudge, nothing. If he hurts you emotionally, calls you a name, he embarrasses you, right? And you can't collect that, right? So the halacha is, according to the Gemara, you're allowed to bear a grudge, but you're not allowed to say, I'm not doing this for you, or I'm not like you. But you can bear the grudge to the point that if somebody else sticks up for your covet, you let him stick up for you. You don't have to stop him. That's what's mashma in the Gemara. But yes, we say him zaktim b'chavetz chayim. The feeling of maskana ain't chilik b'zeh. K'may shabir b'chavetz chayim b'psicha oistes. I ain't some b'bear ma'im chayim. B'chavetz chayim is ha'arichas. The Rambam paskins that you're not allowed to bear a grudge even by davar shebeguf. And the chinuch, famous chinuch, brings a raya from David HaMelech that I should stop here because I'm at 601. This is what happens when you get carried away with something. But the chinuch paskins, that famous chinuch that says Hashem Amar Lo Yikalel, that it says by Shimi Ben Gera cursed David, and they wanted to stick up for him, and he said, no, the Rabbi Nisman must have told them to curse me. Meaning, if I didn't deserve it, I wouldn't get it. Okay, but we'll talk about this more tomorrow. This is a major machlokes Rishayim. Okay, we are up to Gemara Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara, thank you very much. The Gemara just said that the reason there is two psukim by kachim to say that they're pasul is one is to say that an animal born with a Caesarean cannot be made into a carbon. And that we learn now from the pasuk. That we learn now from Leida Mibchar. That's in Zereshava. That taught us that any animal born by Caesarean cannot be donated to a carbon. If somebody did, it's chulin. It doesn't become a carbon. I mean, he owes the money to Hegdish. It's like a table and a chair, but no more than that. Then we had another pasuk that excluded the Yaitza Dyphon from Zeus, and that was to tell me that even if an animal that's a carbon has a baby, that baby cannot be brought to the Mizbeach, and if it's put on the Mizbeach, it comes off. That's a second pasuk that deals with an animal that's born as a carbon. So you can't say it didn't become a carbon, it did. It was born from a carbon. Came along to Pasuk and said, yes, it was born from a carbon, but it's Pasul. And since it's Pasul, this is a kind of soul that happened before Shechita, and therefore, if Allah Yere, if it goes on to Mizbeach, it comes down.
Whatever the reason.
Because the Torah doesn't want to yet to die from the Mizbeach. That's all. Yes?
I've never seen this particular machlokas about the pregnant carbon.
Right. There is no machlokas.
Or this particular discussion of that brought in the discussion of abortion over here at Chemo.
That has nothing to do with the discussion of abortion. I'm not going there, but we're not. There's nothing
the principle of here is often used in discussing abortion.
What?
The principle that the fetus is the limb of the mother.
No. This has nothing to do with that either. This is a separate halacha. When does it become Kaddish? Separate halacha when it's born from a carbon. It is a carbon. It's automatic. Nothing to do with anything else. Again, doctor,
it would seem to be in contradiction to the idea that the Kishat mother was pregnant. The fetus, if it's still living, is considered to be already shafted.
Not a contradiction. It's a special halacha in Shita.
I didn't contradiction.
Okay, could be. Again, this has nothing. All I'm saying is, nobody should build Hilchos abortion from here.
No, they don't. That's what I'm saying. They don't understand why they don't.
Okay, because that's not one. That's not.
Maybe what's the machlokas?
There is no machlokas here. That was by a woman who gives birth through a cesarean. Is it a laser or not?
Not by the animals.
There's no machlokas.
Never a carbon.
Okay, hold on a second. Let's step back. Last week we learned that in the Machlokes Tanoim, the woman gives birth to a cesarean. Is the baby considered, is the woman Tamei Leida? The baby's a fine Jewish baby. Is it a Leida or not? By the way, there's an afkamina whether you can do the bris on Shabbos also. But that's not the gayas here. Rav Shimon holds, it's considered a regular Leida. The mother is Tamei Leida. The kid gets a bris on Shabbos. Oh, I think so. Gemara and Baba Basra. Everything's the... So the Bona say it's not a Leida. That was one thing. Came along to Gemara and left a lady and said goodbye. And now it talked about an animal that has a cesarean birth. Can it be a carbon? And Shimon agreed that it can't. That's what Rabbi Yochanan told us. Rabbi Yochanan told us that by animal there is no machloikas. The Gemara brought a proof to him that there's no machloikas because the Brisa says Yaitzi Daifen comes off the Mizbeach. The fact that it comes off the Mizbeach means that it cannot be a carbon. That's what the Gemara wanted to prove. Then the Gemara got off on a sidetrack because it never became a carbon. I don't have to exclude it from coming off the Mizbeach. So the Gemara answered, there's two kinds of Yaitze Daifens. The Yaitze Daifen that's born to a regular animal before it was Kachim, that never became a carbon. And I don't have to exclude it that it comes off the Mizbeach. It's Chulin. And the Yaitze Daifen that's born from an animal that's Kaidish, that is a carbon, but it's puzzle. That's all we're doing. The doctor is bringing in a subject of abortion, which is obviously nothing to do with being hegnish or not, but I'm not going to get involved in that now. Zog de Gemara Vayta. By the way, anybody who wants to go into the subject of abortion, there's a long tshuva in Ramaisha, and there's also a long tshuva in Tzitz Eliezer, who disagrees with Ramaisha about the issue of abortion. But it's not for now. It's not a discussion for now. Zogt die Gemara weiter. Hachi nami mistaber, right across from Taisa Shehaya, Mem Aleph Amad Aleph. Hachi nami mistaber. And it makes sense that we said that it's that the Brisa here that talked about Yaitzei Daifen has to come off the Mizbeach is talking when the mother is Kachim. That's what we answered. We answered that the mother is Kachim. Therefore, I have to exclude it from coming off the Mizbeach. It makes sense, that answer. Because let me just explain, if we wouldn't have given that answer, we would have run into a problem. That would have proved Rabbi Yochanan wrong. Rabbi Yochanan said, Yaitze Daifen that's born from Chulin is not even a carbon. Then why do we have to exclude it to come off the Mizbeach? So Rabbi Yochanan answered, because that Targumon was born from Kachim. So we're now going to prove his answer makes a lot of sense. Hakanami Mistabra. Why? Because the Tani HaRaveya V'Hanirva. It lists the things that are not psuloi b'kodesh, the things that became pasul prior to shechita. There was a whole list of things there. Hareya, reyev, and anirva, animals that commit bestiality. Hamukta, separated from avodah zarah. Hanevat, served. Haklayim, mixed breed. And the Mishnah says, it comes off, the Brisa said, these things come off the Mizbeach. That's what we said. And we learned that out from the word, zeis. Hani mahocha nafka, mahasam nafka. Why do I have to have a pasuk here, right? We learn it out from elsewhere. Meaning, why do I have to have a pasuk to say it comes off? We learn it from elsewhere that these things cannot be on the Mizbeach. Where? Min ha-behema. The beginning of Parshas Vayikra, it says min ha-behema. Right, so we learn that from min ha-behema, only some behemoths, like Yerayva and Nirva. These are the drushes we make at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. Min ha-behema, to exclude a Reveya v'anirva. Min ha-bokar, v'haytzi ha-nevad. That a nevad cannot be a carbon. An animal served. And I spoke out yesterday that a nevad is not aser b'hano. Meaning, if somebody bows down to his own animal, the animal does not become aser b'hano. However, the person who did it is Chayav Misa, but that's not the discussion here. But it's possible for a carbon. Min ha-tzayin, l'hoiti ha-samukza. That's an animal that was separated to serve as an offering to Avodah Zarah. And again, that does not make it asr b'hana. It's just asr for a carbon. Min ha-tzayin, right, the extra vav, l'hoiti ha-sanegeyach. An animal that gored, you can use it, but it's asr for a carbon. Besu, and furthermore, Kalayim Mahoganavka? Do we learn our Kalayim from here? So the Torah is saying that if you donate a Reveya Vanirva, they don't become Hegdish. They don't become a carbon. If you donate a Nevad, it doesn't become a carbon. If you donate a Mukta, it doesn't become a carbon. So why do I need a Pasuk to say it comes off the Mizbeach? All these cases that we listed, that we say it comes off the Mizbeach, what do I need it for? It's Chulin. The Torah told me when you donate an animal that committed bestiality for carbon, it's a non-carbon. Min ha-behema. The Torah told me if I donate an animal that was served as a Venezara as a carbon, it's a non-carbon. So why do I have to exclude it? It's all Chulin. But soon furthermore, Kalayim Mahachanavka, is this the source that a mixed breed can go on the Mizbeach? Mahasam Nafka, Sarai Kesav Ayez, so we dash him from the two eyes, Pratli Klayim, Sarai Pratli Klayim, Ayez Pratli Nidma. We exclude two things. Number one, a mixed breed, and number two, if you have two sheep that give birth to something that looks like a goat, you can't use it as a carbon. So the Torah said it can't become a carbon. So it's Chulin. So what do you have to tell me it comes out of the Mizbeach? All those cases that we listed are no need to exclude them. Must be, it's a Kutre Kroi. Must be, we do need to exclude them. Chad Lebehem is Chulin. One is to tell me that if you donate an animal that committed bestiality, it never becomes a carbon. The Chad Lebehem is Kutchim, an animal born from a carbon. So it became a carbon. Now committed bestiality, it becomes pasul and comes off the Mizbeach. So all those cases need two psukim. One to tell me they can never become a carbon, and one to say if they're born from a carbon, they are a carbon. But then they committed one of these things. They did bestiality, somebody served them, somebody designated them for Avodah Zarah. They're a mixed breed. So even though they're a carbon, because they came from a mother that's a carbon, if they go on the Mizbeach, they come off. Same thing with Yaita Daifun. We're proving our answer that when the Brisa here said Yaitze Daifen, it meant a Yaitze Daifen that was inherently a carbon, because all those other carbon cases have to be the same. Because if it wasn't a carbon, it's Chulin. You can't donate these things as a carbon. So why would I have to exclude it that it comes off the Mizbeach? Must be that these things were born as a carbon, then became Pasul in a way that they have to come off the Mizbeach if they're put on. Hakanami Yitzchok Shreikroy, Rashi. Rashi is about five lines up the narrow lines. Hakanami Mistabra, it's the beginning of a line. The Rashi, the Bekachim Koy. It makes sense that we're talking about Kachim. Utreikroy Yitzchokalei, and I need two psukim, to Dharma Mitzchokalei, like we said. One for when you donated it, and one when it's born or carbon. How can I prove it to you? The Tani Revei Vanirva. One of the cases that we brought down, that when you put it on the Mizbeach, it comes off, is an animal that commits bestiality. And we're excluding it from Zeis. Do I need Zeis for that? I learned it out that it never became a carbon. Min ha-behema. Pasuk says in Vayikra, Adam ki Yaakov mikem carbon lashem min ha-behema. So we dash him min ha-behema, could have said behema. To tell me, v'loi kol behema. Lahaitis or Avevis Hanirva to exclude an animal that commits bestiality. Now, Rashi wants to say, Shehemis as Adam. Goring animal doesn't mean to gore another animal. It means to gore a person and killed him. Vahai Revev Hanirva Vinagayah Ditani. Rashi has a problem. An animal that commits bestiality gets stoned. An animal that kills a person gets stoned. So it's never around to be a carbon. So why do we have to exclude it from being a carbon? Any animal that commits bestiality is taken to bezin and it's stoned. Any animal that kills a person is taken to bezin and it's stoned. What? What do you mean? It would never. It's not a carbon. How can it be a carbon? We're going to kill it. What do you mean before it got stoned? So I'm actually a better answer, if you don't mind. You're going to be a echad. There was only one a testifying that it did it. We can't kill an animal unless we have two witnesses. I am Bialim. The owner walks in and says, I want you to know my animal killed the person. I want you to know my animal committed bestiality. Now, we can't kill the animal based on that. Why? The Maida B'Knas Pater. Because he's Maida, and we never can punish a Knas. We view this as a Knas, and that is Pater. It's a big Machlokes Rishonim, but this is Rashi's sheet, and I'll get to that in a minute. Hilkach Lehed Yitzari. Therefore, it's 100% Mutter to be used. We don't stone it. It's Mutter Mana. Anybody can use it. There's no two witnesses. But look, there's a special passing that it cannot be a carbon. Two Edom testified, Miskilahu, who led it, Nami Usher, becomes Usher Bana. It's Chayav Skila. Yes, doctor.
If a animal which had either of these characteristics got lost in a herd, does the entire herd have to be stoned?
Misnan's Vachem in Eighth Perek. It depends if we, again, we're talking about after you paskin that it's Chayav Skila.
Right.
So then it's not Batal Barai when we put all the animals, if I believe correctly, we put them in a pen and we would kill them all.
I don't remember why I go into a room much less, but I
don't remember. I don't remember that, but it's a mission, the first mission as well.
Okay. First mission.
I think so, yeah. Eighth barrack, not first mission as well, first mission, eighth barrack as well. Kalayim, Minaezim, and Akevim. From a goat, together a goat and a sheep. Nidma, what is that Nidma? Other than Imai Minaez, they're both goats, who keves, but it came out looking like a keves. The kivin the napkin mahasim doy kaddish, and we learned out from there that it doesn't become a carbon. So why do we need a pasuk here that it comes down? This is a case of chulin. The payment of chulin v'agdisha. First case is the hem of chulin that you donated, that doesn't become a kaddish, and this bride said that it says it comes down. It's talking about it was born a carbon, so you can't say it's not a carbon. Still, if it goes on the Mizbeach after it committed one of these things, or was committed to it, it becomes comes down. Fine. End of this sugya. We're going back to Masechet Nida. Tana Rabbana. Yes.
Another Rashi and another Stavra
before. Where? We did it last week. Hokanami Mistabra? Oh, no, I don't think I did it last week. I'm sorry. You're right. Hokanami Mistabra, the Rashi before the Rashi I started. The Chalhani Psulim the Hokha, the Behemoth Kachim Kama. Same thing. Rashi is explaining. It makes sense that when we mentioned all these things in this Brisa that are puzzle, that come down, it's talking about the mother was Kachim. Reveya Venirva. Now, by Reveya V'nirva, you don't have to say it's born from Kachim. See, Rashi is adding a piece. By Yaitza Daifen, you have to say that the only way you can have a Yaitza Daifen that's a carbon is a Yaitza Daifen that came from a carbon. By Reveya V'nirva, it's a simpler... What? Bestiality. Reveya means when it's the active participant, and Nirva means when it's the passive participant. Yes and no. Okay, but that's not the point here. That's the simplest way of putting it.
No, you actually raised this. That is my
answer. Yes. Okay, now, so Rashi is saying for that case, I can have it without being born from a carbon. A guy donated an animal. It became a carbon. And then it committed bestiality. I don't have to have it born from a mother that's kachim. I can have it be a carbon before it committed this thing. Or a mukta. Or separated. Or nevad. Nami bekachim now. Nevad is an issue because, now Rashi has a problem, right? We said Nevad means you bow down to an animal. But the rule is, if Reuven bows down to Shimon's animal, it doesn't become a Nevad. It's not his. If Reuven bows down to Shimon's animal, we tell to Reuven, goodbye, little Charlie, this animal is not affected in Halacha. Nevad is only if a person bows down to his own animal. And if it's Kachim, it's not his own animal. So how can it be a case of Nevad? He made a carbon, and then he bowed down to it. It's not his. It's a carbon already. It belongs to Hegnish. So, Trashi, Bekachim Kailim, Belibad, Rebbe Yisar, Glili, Zem, Ramam, and Baimanein. Rebbe Yisar, Glili says that Shlomim, Taida, all Kachim Kailim belong to the owner. And therefore, if he bows down to it, he can make it usher. Rashi is coming to answer a side issue. You can't make a Nevad or a mukta, but it doesn't belong to you. Reuven can designate Shimon's carbon as an offering to Havistara. Excuse me, it's not yours. You bow down to Shimon's animal, you can't make it usher. It's not yours. Reveya V'nirva is a physical fact. Mukta and Nevad is a designation. You can't designate somebody else's animal.
And 1,000 people bow down.
It means nothing. It's not theirs. So Rashi says, you can have a case of a korban that does belong to a person. Rabbi Yisrael clearly says that Kachim Kalim is considered Mamam Bailam. That's what the Gemara explains in the last paragraph of Zvachim. Now, the Esnan, how do you have a case of an Esnan, a present to a Zayna, of a Kachem animal? How can I give an animal to a present to a Zayna? It's not mine. Or, Mechir, how can I exchange this animal for a dog? Again, Kachem Kalim you own. And while the animal was pregnant, you told your Zayna, I'm giving you the fetus. He made a kinyan on it. And therefore, it became an Esnan after it was a carbon already. It was already in the mouth, in the womb of a carbon. Or, same thing when you exchange it from a dog. The Esnan. Again, they're already a carbon in the mother's stomach. But it's yours because it's kachem kalim. Didn't happen before, because if it happened before, it never became a carbon. It happened while it was a fetus. And even kedusha that happens automatically, which means by being a fetus, is chal on this animal. In the case of mixed breed and trefa and yaitzadayfen, it is born from a carbon. So Rashi goes through all these cases to show you, you can have two of them. You can have the one that happens before it became a carbon and it never becomes a carbon, or it happens when it's already a carbon. And Rashi goes through, you can have a revev and nirva when it's already a carbon. You can have a mukta and a neva when it's already a carbon because it's kachem kalim. You can have an esnan and a mechir because it's kachem kalim. And you can have klayim, treif, and yaitz adayfen if the mother was a carbon and it's born from a carbon.
One question, Colin. The mafish of the hammer for kachem kalim.
Kachem, okay. There's two kinds of karbanas. There is karbanas that the Torah calls kachem kalim, and the Torah calls kachem kedoshim. For those who say I'm a claimant every morning, it says it in the Mishnah. It's right. And then when the Mishnah gets to Taidav El Nazir, the Mishnah says, Kachem Kalim. There are four differences between Kachem Kedashim and Kachem Kalim.
Once a Mafush, that doesn't mean...
No. The type of carbon you choose is going to determine whether it's Kachem Kedashim or Kachem Kalim. And there are multiple differences. I can think of four differences between Kachem Kedashim and Kachem Kalim.
Can you elaborate?
And it's not the game, so good, but I'll tell you once. Number one is that Kachem Kedashim have to be shechted b'tzafen. Kachem Kalim can be shechted anywhere in the Azara. Number two, Kachem Kedashim can only be eaten by Kahanim. Kachem Kalim can be eaten by Yisraelim also.
Rapture.
I'm sorry?
Rapture.
I didn't get the, I said four differences, right? Number three, Kachem Kedashim have to be eaten in the Azara. Kachem Kalim can be eaten all Yerushalayim. And number four, Kachem Kedashim have me'ilah on them before you do zrika. Somebody had anah from them, you gave them me'ilah. Kachem Kalim have no me'ilah till after zrika, the part that goes on Mizbeach. But there might even be more. Those are the four differences that come to mind. So there is differences. Now, what determines what it is? What carbon it is? Which kabbanas are Kachem Kedashim? Chatas, Asham, Ayla, and Zivchei Shalmei Tiber, which happens once a year, and please don't make me go into that now. Four. And what Kavanas are Kachem Kalim? Taida, Shlomim, Bechar, Meiser, Pesach. Those are Kachem Kalim.
I thought it has nothing to do with it.
What? Well, when you designate it, that's when you're designating it.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with whether it belongs to
Hekvish
or not.
Well, Rabbi Yitzhak Lili says yes. Rabbi Yitzhak Lili is the one that says that if it's Kachem Kalim, it still belongs to you. Not totally, but you have rights to it. You're considered part owner, at least part owner. Yes?
I think the issue of ownership and worshiping never occurred to me before, but any object of idolatry must be destroyed, and if there's an Isra or not, in other words, it has no value and it has no owner. So how is it then that there's an issur on worshiping an Asherah or other things if they don't actually exist as an object of any significance?
The tyrant said...
There is a custom?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thank you. That was the only thing I could think of.
I'm a cautious slice of yavim. A woman that's in labor pain for 3 days. Now, if you remember, we discussed a labor pain that it leads to an immediate birth, it does not make her a zava. Because? the Torah made that we learned out from a pasuk that labor pain during the days of Zivus, if there's no in between the labor pain and the birth, it's immediate. Whatever immediate means, 24 hours, night and a day, she's not a Zava. If there is a time in between, she does become a Zava. What happens with Yatsav Lad Derech Seifer? Here's a woman that had labor pain 3 days through a regular way of having blood from her vagina. And now, 3 days later, without a break, she has a cesarean. Is she a Zava or not? Now, she had birth preceded by a labor pain, but is it a birth? Is labor pain, is a cesarean considered a halachic birth? Zok de Mishnah, harzu yoledet v'zayv. Not a halachic birth. She had 3 days of blood, not followed by a halachic birth. So she's a zava. The Torah only said a woman that gives a halachic birth after 3 days of labor is not a zava. But if it didn't have an halachic birth, so the birth and the blood are totally separate. And the labor pain blood made her a zava. It was not followed by a birth. We have no birth here. Either the baby, that's not a halachic birth. And halachically, she never gave birth. Reb Shimon Eimer, Ezu Yeledet B'Zayv. Reb Shimon said, yes, it was a halachic birth. Because she gave birth. If it was a cesarean, it's considered a birth. That's case number one. Zok Rashi, Ezu Yeledet, Amakasha Gimu Yamim, B'mei Ziva, B'Ros Adam Kol Shloisha Derech Rechem. She saw it from her womb. B'yotze D'Vlad Derech Daifin, Ha'ezu Yeledet B'Zayv, Klem Ezavahi, the Chitia Rachmana, when did the Torah say Miziva that she's not a Zoiv, Damakushi, labor blood, Hanimila Beleda Malyasa? A halachic birth. Of a Derech Daifin, Rav Vaidehi. It's not a birth. It's a non halachic birth. Ezu Yeledet B'Zayv, Rav Shimla Tameh. Rama Yaita Daifin, Rav Malyahu. He says Yaita Daifin is a birth. Mataris Kisuyav, and therefore the labor pain is tahar. Now the next case is a difficult case to understand, which the Gemara will pounce on. Not pounce on, explain. V'dam hayoytze misham tameh. The blood that comes out the side, pashtus, meaning comes out of the cesarean, is tameh. For Reb Shimon, mitahir. And Reb Shimon says, no, the blood is tahar. Now that needs explanation. Because if anything, Reb Shimon considers it a birth, so it's dam leida. So why in the world is it not tameh? And Rabbanan don't consider it a birth, so maybe they consider it dam maka, so then it shouldn't be tameh. If anything, it should be the opposite. And the Gemara is going to be bothered by that. Dr. Ashi?
What? As we said before, it has to be the opening of the cervix.
So the Rabbanan should say tahar, and Reb Shimon should say tameh. And Reb Shimon says tameh, and Rabbanan say tahar. Frank the Gemara Bishlam and Reisha, I can understand the Reisha of Shimon L'Tameh Rabbanu L'Tamayu. Very simple. Shimon says it is a birth, Rabbanu says it's not a birth. Therefore, according to the Rabbanu, she's a Zava, and according to Shimon, she's not a Zava. El is safer than my Bligi. But the safer, what are they arguing about? So trashy. If Shimon L'Tameh, Badama Yaitse Misham, I'm sorry, it's about 8 lines in the bottom, and then a line. The common mafarish my kamar, the Gemara will explain what this means. Shimon l'tameh, the Amr ben Masnisen, yoishano if he may tumah fill the lady of Esther. He says that if a woman has a cesarean, the blood doesn't make a difference. She had a birth. Beitara, she gets days of tara. Alma vladu, hilchilinyan kuchi nami vladu. Just like it's a vlad for birth, it's a vlad for labor pain. Matara is kusuyav, and therefore it makes the labor pain tar. El is safer than my pleading. You can't say that it means the blood that comes out of the cesarean. The Rabbanon say is coming like Dama Leda. And Reb Shimon says it's tar. Should have been the opposite. Reb Shimon metame dam revladu, but he'll come in metarif. Elevadai, I feel a little Reb Shimon lay have a look at Dama Maka. Must be that even Reb Shimon doesn't consider it birth. Aye, behold, Amar Reb Shimon masnis and yaish mol he may tumah. That which Reb Shimon says, it is a birth. Mishum vlad kama v'loy mishum dam. Seems that what Reb Shimon is saying is, this is a birth, but the blood is not dam of birth. It's not the blood that makes it tameh, it's the birth. It's as if there's no blood. which, again, the Gemara doesn't understand. But that's what it sounds like, Reb Shimon saying. This is a birth, but the blood is not dama birth. And Rabbanan is saying it's not a birth, but the blood is dama birth. It makes no sense. Frank the Gemara, Elaseva b'may b'ligi. Amar avinu g'nashiyotza v'lad derech seifen. The case is it was a Caesarean. V'dam derech rechem. And the blood didn't come out of the Caesarean. The blood came out of her womb the regular way. As she had a Caesarean, she bled the regular way, which I understand happens, that a woman that has a Caesarean bleeds through the regular way as well.
It depends on whether or not the
king's
blood drops.
Could be. Thank
yeah,
you.
Definitely does that.
Okay. So now it makes sense. Reb Shimon says, the blood of a birth, this is not blood of a birth, because this happened, again, in labor pain. And therefore, this is part of labor pain. She had labor pain. She had birth through the Caesarean, and the blood that comes out through the rechem is, again, before she gave birth. At this point, the Gemara thinks she had a Caesarean, and we're talking about the blood she had prior to the Caesarean that came with labor pain. And Reb Shimon says, it's tahor, because the labor pain makes it tahor. Same case as the beginning. And Rabbanan say it's tameh, because a birth through a Caesarean is not a birth. Therefore, it's tameh. Fresh the Gemara Maskel Rav Yosef. Chalde d'hainu resha. So that's the exact same case. He just repeated the first case. She bled during labor, and then she had a Caesarean. Rav Shimon says, yeah, it's kishui. Rabbanan says, so why do you repeat it twice? V'yayin, misham makam blad mashma. It says, dam shiyata misham. Misham sounds like the place of the baby, not the recha.
The cervix.
C-section. What happened was, she had a cesarean, and blood came out of the cesarean. And there was no labor pain. We're not dealing with labor pain here. Talking about a regular woman, had a cesarean, and she had blood. The question becomes, whether that blood is tameh or tahar. Meaning, well, hold a sec, 1 second. This blood came out of the C-section, right? And Rabbanan say it's tameh, not because of birth, because it's a non-birth, but it touched, the blood came, mekor mekaymai. This blood came from the womb, because as the baby came out of the womb, so did the blood. And even though this is not done later, because the Torah does not consider this later, but the blood touched the Makar. And we had it earlier in the Masechta. And since it touched the Makar, the blood becomes Tameh. So the blood is a Tameh Dika blood, not birth blood. It's a blood that came out of the womb, which not considered birth blood, because Rabbanan don't consider this a birth. This is blood, but it's a wound blood. It came out of a wound in the womb. But it touched the womb. And any blood that touches the womb becomes tameh. And Reb Shimon Savar, right, Umay Savar, Mekoy Mekoy Metameh, Umay Savar, Mekoy Metoy Metor. And Reb Shimon says that this blood is not considered tameh, right? And therefore, it's considered damaka. He agrees that even though it's a birth, right? Even though it's a birth, he considers it tahor, and it doesn't become tameh because it touched the womb. That means he doesn't consider it dam leida, he considers it dam maka, because even though it's considered a birth, but the bottom line is it happened through a wound, and they had to cut her open, and therefore this blood is not tameh. It's not tameh as a leida because it happened through a wound, and it's not tameh for makar makayim tameh because he holds there's no such halacha that touching a makar makes the blood tameh. Let me read Rashi, and then I want to explain something before any questions. Rashi, all the way from the beginning of the page, dam derech rechem. The havamina was b'shloishes yemei akushi through the labor days, kaidem leida. V'yomer rabbanon the zibahi. That zibah like mitar lo vlad the lav leidi. The vlad doesn't affect the labor blood. Reb Shimon mitar bach. Militamei, hayoli meziva. These are the days of ziva, the dam kushi, the meziva, rachmanatare. This is dam ziva during the days of, during labor, the Torah said it's kar. Shiyotav la derech daifin, puk tachriti. V'la bakushikoi. It's not talking about labor. The reisha irish shiyotav demrech rechim kaitim leda. First case was, the woman was bleeding through the vagina before the leda. Rabbanu sari mekoy mekoy metame. Hukak tipas gav metame. A drop of blood makes her tame. V'yav agav de derech reif daifin lav rihi letame se'isifum meshiva. Even though this is not birth blood, because they don't hold this as a birth. This tipa will be matami if somebody touches it. From the nagabim kar, because it touched the womb, and the kar makai metame, and a womb is tame. The Reb Shimon Saver, the kar makai metar, milatami tumadagazvai. He says there's no such thing. The womb is not tame, and therefore the blood that touches it is not tame. Hilkakiyasa dam derech daifin tar milatame. Kedam makadami. Blood of a wound. And touching the makar doesn't make a difference. The chiyasi now. What happens if it came out through the vagina? Chiyasi nami derech rechem tor koye meziva heichad olekis sufi samach laleda. And if it came out during the rechem, that's also not birth blood. That's ziva blood. But she never had a stop between the zivas and the leda. The blood metare v'abagav the blood derech v'nafet. So she won't be tamei. Because the blood that comes out through the rechem came out because of labor. And the blood that came out of the makah is dam makah, not called dam leda. That's a chiddush in Reb Shimon. We consider it a birth, but the blood is considered wound blood. Now, there's a new machlokes here, and I want to explain this. Makar makai maitame. And Rashi says what happens is that the blood that touched the makar becomes tame. And therefore, if anybody touches it, he becomes tame. This is problematic. The Rishonim have a problem. Because let's say the makar is an avatoma. So the blood that touches it is a rishon l'toma. It comes out. Why is it matami a person? A rishon l'toma is not matami a person. So they say it's a halacha l'maishim Sinai, that this blood blood that touches the womb becomes an avatoma. It's a big chiddush. It's treated like an avatoma. Because really, if you think about it, even if you say the makar is tamei, the makar is tamei is an avatoma. The blood that touches it is a rishon l'toma. A rishon l'toma can't be matami a person. But it says here in Rashi, if you touch it, you become tame. So the answer is halacha l'maishim et Sinai, that the blood that touches the womb can be matami a person by touch. Yes, doctor.
Did any of the commentaries that you saw discuss whether these were actual events or hypothetical events? I mean, as I mentioned to you last week, the first recorded instance of a woman surviving a C-section 1,000 years after the close of the
war. Take a look who talks about it in the Arkas Yitzhar right at the beginning. And he explains that even though they say it could never have happened, in the days of Chazal it happened. That's what Reb Chaim Kanievsky says.
No, I've cited that before, and we've heard it before.
So I'm sticking to what he says.
I may not remember why I go into the room, but I do remember that.
So there's your answer. Reb Chaim says it did answer. It happened. So why should I say it didn't happen when Reb Chaim told me it did happen? And he knew a lot more than me.
I would be more there.
Probably a lot more than anybody else in this room. All of us combined, yeah.
Okay. According to Maharal, they're clearly hypothetical and
again, doctor, yeah, I hate to say this to you. We've had this argument a million times, and I'll say it again. If Chazal say it happens, Rashi says it happens, the Rambam says that he doesn't understand it, but he asks the question, and Reb Chaim tells me that Chazal were able to do things that we can't do, they got lost over a certain period of time. So I'm not going to argue on this, I'm not going to question.
Rabbi Margaretin?
Hold a second.
Every single thing cited in the glory, a few of Barbar Chanas, happened exactly the way it said. So but I would be more comfortable if one of the Mephorsha Gemara had said this specifically does happen.
I think Rashi did. Hold 1 second, Dr. Bray. Rashi says, Yaitse Daifen. Isn't Rashi, sounds like Rashi is saying it happened.
He's not saying it happened.
Okay, again, to me.
I mean, you actually can deliver cattle, and people do deliver cattle by cesarean section.
Again, it says with estropus. Now, you're telling me it never happened. It's theoretical. I'd rather go with everybody else. It seems I never saw anybody say this is hypothetical. Yes.
For historic skulls where they basically they did surgery on opening up the bone and people lived afterwards. So, and they don't understand how that was done.
What you say?
I mean, they find old skulls, ancient skulls, where people basically opened up the bone of the skull and people lived afterwards. They did kind of surgery, so we don't understand how they did it.
You're talking about the Mayans and other things where you see a trapanned skull which shows signs of healing, but the person there does not show, although there is some bone regrowth, it does not show that they survived for very long after that. I'm aware of those skulls.
Okay, so again, even according to you, doctor, not that I agree with you, but even according to you, it's possible that she survived for 100 days.
Okay. Yes, I have no
problem
with that.
Okay. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Rabbi Yechon and Amar, okay. Amar Rish Lakish. Now here comes a very big chiddush according to Rish Lakish. The Divri Amitami Bedam, Mitami Beisha. Zok Rish Lakish, I disagree. I think that the Rabbanon who say that the blood is Tameh, they say this is Dam Nida. This is Dam Nida. You can have Nida, it's not Weda, it's Maka, but it's Dam Nida. If it's Maka, why is it Nida? I'm not sure. It's not Leda, but it's Dam Nida. Even though it does not come out of the Rechem. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Afla Divri Amitami Bedam Betar Beish. So according to Rabbi Yislakish, the Rabbana says she becomes a Nida. And Rabbi Yechon says, no way. This blood is Tamei because Makar Makai Metamei. But it does not make the woman Tamei. So us the Rabbi Yechon with Tamei. The Amar Rabbi Yechon Mishra 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 Minayin, I say Yechoi, the Gemara says Yechi, but it's Yishimim ben Yechoi. We call him Rabshim ben Yechoi. Minayin, Shein, Ishet, Tmei, Achiyetz, Midva, Derech, Argosa. How do I know a woman is never a Nida unless the blood comes out through her erva? Shenema, Ve'ish, Achiyishka, Ve'isha, Dava, Ve'gila, Es, Argosa, Es, Mekaira, Hera. The Torah writes, a man who lives with a woman who's a Nida, Gila, Es, Argosa means he has a relationship. And entered her makar. He penetrated her makar. Because the Torah says Dava next to Arvasa, to tell me Malame Che'ein Isha Tmeya Che'yetze Midva Derech Arvasa. So here's a basic machloikis, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechonam. Blood that comes out of the side of the womb, blood that comes from the womb that does not exit through the cervix, but exits through the womb. Rabbi Yislakish says she becomes a nida. And Rabbi Yechonin says...
Wound.
And Rabbi Yechonin says she cannot become a nida unless it exits through the cervix. There's a basic machlokes here. Throughout Shas, Rabbi Yechonin is quoted. And again, I'm going to say something very stupid on my part. I don't remember anywhere else in Shas that it should mention Yislakish's opinion. Rabbi Yechonin is mentioned multiple times. But Rish Lakish, I don't remember anywhere else in Shas that it's mentioned. But then again, it's stupid of me to say that because I have a lot of other things in Shas that I don't remember. But I don't remember it. Rashi. Matama b'isha mitumah shiva shemriyas nida. I forgot the blood derech daifin. Means according to Rish Lakish, blood from a womb, I don't care where it comes out from, she's a nida. And Rabbi Yechonin says, not true. She doesn't become a nida unless it exits the regular way blood exits through the cervix, not through a wound. This isn't the sheet of the Rabbanan. According to Shimon, she's called not coming. So I think you might write. So it ends up being an interesting point. I just want to point it out. If Shimon considers it a birth, and the woman is coming for as a birth, and she has Dei Tara as a birth, but the blood itself is not coming. It's wound blood. And Rabbanan, who don't consider it a birth, consider the blood tamei, not because it's blood of birth, going like Rabbi Yechonin, but because it touched the makar. Not to my right. I'm a Rish Lakish, Rishum of Yehuda Nesia. Rish Lakish quoted Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, who was a grandson of Rebbe. Rebbe was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, His grandson's name was Yehuda, and he was called Yehuda Nisiyah. He was a Nazi also. Mekar Shenekar V'Nafal Aretz. The womb fell out of the woman. The woman had an episode that the womb fell out.
Prolapse.
Prolapse. But prolapse usually doesn't fall out, but this one fell out.
If we take this literally, we can't put it back in.
No, nobody's saying put it back in. Shenemar. Yam hishafech nuchusaseich. Your bottom fell out. Matigli ervaseich. And you revealed your erva. Now, because the Torah says, right, and the Torah calls nuchusaseich matigli ervaseich. The Torah calls it erva. Now, the pasuk is giving Kal Yisrael Musar and saying, since you basically didn't keep sneas, and you revealed yourself, and you did a gilui arayos, therefore. And the Torah describes this woman who had no sense of tzias, and it said, your bottom fell out, and you megali your erva. So the juxtaposition tells us that we view falling out as considered as if dam fell out. And therefore, she becomes a tamenita. Now, that's what we think. Frekta gemara talama, ilayim letum eshiva, dama merachmana b'lechaticha. I don't see blood here. I see a piece of skin, a flesh. Elo l'tumas erev. If the womb comes out, she's tamei one day. The Torah's juxtaposition in Yecheskel tells me that a womb coming out has properties of tuma, not nida, but dam one day. Rashi, shenekar chatichas baser, nuchusaseich sulayech your bottom. I know makar, that is the womb. Siba tigli arvaseich. We look at it as if the womb is still in place. The bottom. The Gemara talks about an oven, I think, and it says the bottom heats it up. So we see the word nuchusasech means bottom. Talks about the bottom of the oven. The tumas erev. Now why? Why is she tameh? If it's not nida, where is this tumah? The drashim neshenaga by betziasa. The womb is tameh, and it touched her as it's left. So therefore, she becomes tameh for touching the womb. That's what she becomes tameh for.
Chatichas basar.
A womb is basar. What else is it?
So that's the whole womb falls out.
Yeah. Doctor just told you how it happens. There are women that have something called a prolapse, which means, if I understand correctly, that the muscles that hold the womb in place have loosened and the womb hangs down. Now, in a good case today, but not as bad, they can fix it. They do surgery and they fix it. It's called the prolapse. Women have prolapse. And the place can deal with it extensively. And in the case of this case, they didn't fix it and it broke and it fell out.
If they fix it, it should still be tummy, right?
If she fix it, well, why should she be tamei if they fix it without...
While still inside
there's nothing wrong. Why should she be tamei?
Like it fell out and then they fix it up.
They can't put it back in. That's what the doctor is saying.
If it falls out entirely.
Right, right.
But if it falls out entirely, she's got good problems.
Okay, could be. But again, this condition does exist. It's called the prolapse.
Oh, yeah, no,
women have rectal prolapses.
Men have it too.
What?
Men have it too.
And have rectal, yes, there's no difference, woman and man, in rectal prolapse, exactly. And they need surgery to fix it.
It's rectal.
It can be rectal prolapse, it can be womb, so I don't know what's called.
Popped out of it. Whatever it is. Anything which involves any hole in the body can fall out. Incidentally, it's not muscle, it's ligaments.
Okay, I'm sorry. My mistake. It's ligaments, okay. Whatever holds it in place is loosened.
Yeah.
We'll stop here. Then you make some tomorrow.